Luke chapter 14, where we continue our series through the beloved physician. Luke chapter 14, continuing our look at Luke, starting at 14, verse 15. If you were here last week, we read these words together, but last week we focused particularly on the verses directly preceding that, talking about verses 12 through 14 last week. This week we're going to be looking at 15 and following, so 15 to verse 24. If you're using our black pew Bible, that's found on page 1012. Luke chapter 14, starting a reading then at verse 15. Luke 14, verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we are considering the question, who does Jesus Christ invite into his kingdom? Who does Jesus have in mind? What kind of person does he welcome in? And in many ways, our sermon today is a continuation over the last few weeks. We've been focusing on the kingdom of God. A few weeks back, we looked at the attitude of those who were invited. When we are invited, those who are invited to come must come with such humility and gratitude. Praise God that I have been invited, that I have been welcomed in. This attitude of humility and gratitude is what frees us from human nature's prone desire of boasting and pride. Right? It moves us towards humility, and it keeps us from this idea of pushing others aside and trying to elevate ourselves. Last week, we looked at those who are invited are called to have an understanding of what it means to be graciously invited. That Jesus Christ invites us not because of what we can do, not because of what we have to offer, but he graciously, freely invites us, even though we have nothing. We are poor. We are wretched. We are the lame and the blind. We have nothing to offer Jesus Christ, yet he freely offers and invites us into his kingdom. That is reflected in our generosity, in our charity towards those who will not repay us, who cannot repay us, that moves us to a true Christian's heart of generosity to those who are in need. Well, this week we come to the conclusion of this focus on the kingdom and looking at who does Jesus Christ invite into his kingdom? Who is this in this parable of the great banquet? Who is it that Jesus invites? Now, when we throw a party, or even when we're preparing for our wedding, and we come across this list of people that we invite, there is always a limited space, isn't there? I would gladly invite all of you into my home for a feast. I would love to do that, but you simply would not all fit. It just wouldn't work. The same thing when you have a wedding. You have a list of people, and there's a certain amount that can be welcomed in. Well, today we are going to see that our God is not bound by these limitations. His house is large, and he will not stop until there is a great host of people gathered in. And we continue this focus on this concept of the kingdom, and this feast that the host in our parable is throwing is really the feast of the consummation, that wedding supper of the Lamb that we read about in Revelation. So where last week we focused on our need to be generous because of Jesus Christ's generosity towards us, this week we are going to see how our God invites social outcasts into his kingdom, that our God graciously invites all sorts of people to be welcomed at his feast. We're going to look at this theme, that Jesus Christ invites a great number of people to come into his house so that his house might be filled. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ invites a great number of people into his feast so that his house might be filled. We start then by considering who it is that Jesus invites. Remember, as we looked at last week, as we jump forward to verse 24, it is Jesus who is the one who is not only telling this parable, it's Jesus who is the host, right? Jesus is the one who says here in verse 24, my banquet. This is Jesus telling a parable about himself, really. Jesus is displaying what kind of person, what kind of host he truly is. And we see that it's his prerogative to invite any that he desires to be welcomed into his feast. Jesus has the freedom to see to it that there are many who are welcomed in. Children, it would be like, let's say next week, let's put a little further out, next month you have your birthday. And your mom and dad say to you, little one, you have your birthday next month. I want you to choose 10 people. 10 people to invite to your party, to your birthday party. You have to choose 10 people. So who would you choose? Who would be the first person on your list of people that you would welcome to your birthday party? Well, this parable that Jesus tells in verse 16 and following is going to answer how many and what kind of people. We start with how many. How many does Jesus invite into his kingdom, inviting to his feast? This parable is rich with grace. It is rich with God's mercy, God's desire. His yearning is to see that his great mansion, his huge house, his lavish feast, an extravagant banquet, is enjoyed by many. Verse 16 says it in these words. A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. It's both large and lavish. Our God is so gracious that he wants many, a huge number, to be gathered in to be welcomed into his presence. And as our parable concludes in verse 23, the master of the house says to his servant, go out so that my house may be filled. Sometimes we have a diminished view of God's mercy. We have a really small, we kind of box God in when we think about who he invites into his house. We said this we read this earlier in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Our God and Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, yes, it is true that those who are chosen will be saved. Election is taught in God's word. Not one that is given by the Father to the Son will be lost. But the focus of this parable is the desire of the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. the love of the Father and the desire of the Son is that there would be many. A huge number. That many would be gathered in. And even after that invite had gone out, in verse 22, it said again, there's still room. And we could echo that today, couldn't we? There is still room in the kingdom of God. There is still room at the great banquet. There are still empty seats, if you want to put it that way, that need to be filled. How do we know this? Jesus hasn't come back yet. And Jesus is not going to come back until every seat is filled. Jesus has a burning desire to see his feast enjoyed by a huge number of people from all tribes, tongues, and languages. The heavenly mansion is to be filled. So the Son desires that the invite go out, that all be called. Come, for the feast is prepared. Ezekiel puts it this way. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, he desires that they turn to him and find life. The invite goes forth from the lips of the Good Shepherd. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever comes to me, I will in no way turn out or cast aside. To put this in the words of our confessions, Canons of Dort 2 verse 4 puts it this way. The work of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all. In fact, Christ's death is more than sufficient to atone for the sins of the entire world. That's Canons of Dort 2:4. More than sufficient than to atone for the sins of the entire world. This leads to the application. Canons of Dort 2:5. Since Jesus Christ's work is more than sufficient to atone for the entire world, therefore the gospel proclamation, the invitation to welcome others in, should be announced without discrimination to all men. The invitation should be announced without discrimination, without distinction. To all men. The fact is, our God graciously, we call this the free offer of the gospel. Our God yearns, desires, wants his house to be filled. And that's what moved the Father to send the Son. And that's what moves the Son to continue to declare the invitation to this day. The door is still open. The door is still open and many continue to come in. And in fact, Jesus is so desirous to see his kingdom filled that at verse 23, he compels them. Look at this in verse 23. The literal word found in verse 23, we find there, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come. That's kind of a weak word. The literal word is this, anagstan, which means compel them. Plead with them. Almost the sense of forcing them to come in. Not that it's the sense of forcing them to come against their will, but there's such a strong emphasis. Make them come. So to apply this point, if our heavenly host, Jesus Christ, wants his house filled, wants his feast enjoyed by many, if that's the desire of Jesus Christ, shouldn't that be our desire? Shouldn't it be what sets our hearts on fire? Yearning for the lost? that there are still an untold number of men, women, and children in this world who either haven't heard or haven't yet come. Therefore, the apostles throughout Scripture, and even today, we echo these words, pleading with our fellow men to flee from the coming wrath. Come into the kingdom. Enter in through the narrow gate and find life. But praise God that the invite not only goes forth, but the power to respond to the invite goes forth as well. This idea of compelling does not mean that people are gathered against their will, against their desire. Right? People are not dragged to heaven even if they don't want to go. This is where we take a step back and we look at the fuller picture of Scripture. Because Jesus not only sends the invite, he sends his Spirit. Right? We are living post-Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church. And it is the Spirit who uses the preaching, that's Romans chapter 10, the Spirit who uses preaching to turn the hearts of men, to turn them from stone into flesh, so that those who hear the call would respond to the call. We're talking about not only the external call, but the internal call, the effectual call, the working of the Holy Spirit. It's in this way that Jesus Christ compels us to come. We don't have a choice, because the Holy Spirit gives us the will, the way, the desire, and the ability to hear and to respond with faith. Because if the Holy Spirit didn't come, our ears would still be deaf. Our minds would still be darkened. So Jesus Christ not only desires that his house is filled, he ensures that his house will be filled by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, we need to continue. I'd love to spend some time meditating upon this wonderful truth, but we need to continue by looking at these invites that Jesus Christ continues to give throughout this parable. And we find in this parable that there are two invites given to three different groups. This may not be evidently clear on the first time you read it, but according to Jewish tradition, whenever you throw a great feast, you would give two invites. The first invite would be sent weeks or months in advance saying, I'm going to throw a feast, I'm going to have a wedding party at such and such a date. It's kind of similar to our RSVP. We let people know in advance, save the date, this is going to happen. The second invite would be the day before or the day of, where the person who is throwing the party would send another invite to those who had responded. Today's the day. Now come, my feast is prepared. We find this in verses 16 and 17 in our passage. Jesus first replies, a man who's preparing a banquet invited many guests. And then that's the first one. In verse 17 is the second invite. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants out, go and gather, go and invite those who said they are coming. So we have these two invites, and these two invites are first sent to this first group. The first group is found in verse 17 and 18. The first group who had received this initial RSVP invite and the second invite on the day of the feast begin to make excuses. This is in verse 18. Now, this first group would be those who had received, as Romans chapter 3 says, those who had received the prophecies, the promise, the covenant, the glory, the law, specifically the Old Testament Israelites, and in the day of Jesus, these religious rulers who had so many reminders and promises and prophecies. The day of the feast is coming. The king is coming. And when John the Baptist goes forth and Jesus Christ goes forth, the kingdom of God is at hand. They both proclaimed that was the invite. Come into the feast. It's ready. The day has arrived. Come on in. Everything is prepared. be welcomed into my feast. But because of their hardness of heart, the majority of religious leaders during Jesus' day refused and would not come in. They made many excuses, as we're going to look at in our next point. Because of this refusal, because there is the by and large, the first group didn't come when they were invited, the invitation is extended to a second group in verse 21. The second group is where the servant is sent to go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. This second group would be the social outcasts among the Jewish people. Remember who Jesus associated with mostly during his ministry. It was the poor, the blind, the sick, the lame, the outcasts, the sinners, the tax collectors, the fishermen, the prostitutes. This is the group that Jesus fellowshipped with. The common folk, the residents of the city, the normal Jewish people who were not the religious elite. But after the invite was extended to them, there is still room. So Jesus says, go out again to his servant. Go out in verse 23. Go out into the roads and country lanes. Another way of translating that would be the highways and hedges. So first it went, the first group was those who had received the initial RSVP, the religious elite. The second group would be the common folk of the Jewish people. And the third group would be outside of the city. So those who are outside the Jewish realm. Those who are on the outskirts, if you will, the fringe group. In this third group, we find Jesus even welcoming the Gentiles. Because of the rejection of the Jews, the way is opened for the Gentiles to be gathered in. Romans chapter 11 speaks to us. When Jesus Christ was speaking to his apostles and he was promising the power of the Holy Spirit, he said to his disciples, you are going to be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. We are living after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit has been poured out. We are in that third group. We have received the invite to be welcomed in and to be gathered in those who are sitting at the feast. The gospel is being proclaimed not only to the sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes of the common folk of the Judean people, but to us Gentiles, sinners who were once afar off. Even though we had not originally received the covenant, the promise, and the prophecies, we are now grafted in like a wild olive shoot, grafted into the branch of Jesus Christ. And indeed, throughout Jesus' ministry, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 21. He was speaking to the Pharisees. He was speaking to the first group. Jesus says in Matthew 21, the tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, they're entering the kingdom in front of you, instead of you, before you. So Jesus was saying the second group is coming into my kingdom because you and the first group have refused to be welcomed and to come. So this very briefly at the conclusion of this first point, we see that our calling is to go forth and to gather in, to share the invite. Our God is gracious and merciful. There is no people group or populace that Jesus Christ says, you are too far away, you are too great of a sinner, you are too foreign, you are too strange. All people, all nations, all tribes are being gathered in. So that applies to who we are called to share the gospel with. It's not just those who are close and near, our kin. It applies to them. But also to those who are strangers and foreigners, those who have not yet heard or not yet come in. So although Jesus graciously invites many to come, the fact is that some refuse. Particularly in this first group, they were called twice. They received that initial invite and the day of the event invite, but they would not come in. And thus, verse 24 says, they will not taste. The Israelite leaders, for the most part, after receiving the Old Testament promises, prophecies, and covenant, when the day of the feast arrives, They rejected and they refused. They spurned the invite, rejecting the offer of free salvation graciously given, and instead offer their excuses. Now, children, think back to that initial illustration I had. Remember that invite that your parents said? Your birthday is a month from now. Invite 10 people. So, children, think of those 10 people that you invited to your birthday. On the day of your birthday, my birthday's coming up in a couple months from now. Imagine that on the day of your birthday, you call the people who said, yes, I'm coming, I'm going to be there. You call them up, and every one of them comes up with an excuse. The first person you call says, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot it was your birthday. You know what? I just received a new Lego set. I'm not going to come because I want to build my Lego set. Okay. You call the second guy. Hey, today's my birthday. Are you coming to my birthday? No, I'm sorry. I just got a new video game. I'm going to play my video game instead of coming to your birthday. And on you go down the list, the 10 people coming up with these horrible excuses. How would you feel? What would your response be? Well, Jesus' response is, if you don't come to my birthday, if you refuse my invite, I'm still going to have a party. And I'm going to invite 10 other people. And we're going to have a great time. And because you refused to come when I invited you, you're not going to taste my birthday cake. You are not going to get one taste of my feast because you did not come when I invited you. Well, Jesus says that to these three groups, or this first group's three excuses that they came up with. When we read these excuses in verse 18, one of them says that I bought some ground. Another one says I bought some animals, some oxen. And another one said I just got married. None of these excuses would mean that the person couldn't come to the feast. The fact of the matter was, they actually didn't want to come and were simply using an excuse. This, in the context, remember, Jesus was invited in verse 1 by the Pharisees. Remember, it was a Pharisee who was throwing the feast. And now, in this parable, Jesus is pointing to the Pharisees and saying, you have been invited, and you have given me this lame excuse. What was the basis for their excuse? The basics for their excuse was that they had no desire to be at the feast. The kingdom that Jesus was initiating, that he was bringing in, was a spiritual kingdom. But each of these in the first group had more pressing, earthly, material, physical things on their mind. They had earthly kingdoms in view, physical pleasures and material gain, and they did not want what Jesus, the kind of feast and kingdom that Jesus was bringing. And even though the common folk, that second group that was invited, was gathered in, the first group refused to come. Now this fact, this excuse still holds today, doesn't it? When you think of the reason why many people refuse to come, either refusing to come to church, refusing to be welcomed into the feast, refusing to respond with faith and repentance, refusing to come to Jesus Christ with humility, what reasons, what excuses do most people give? Well, it's usually a financial concern. I can't come to church because I have to work, or I have to do whatever my pleasure is, whatever my worldly desire, whatever my earthly kingdom demands, whatever my idol is. I can't come to church because that's more important to me. It's the same excuse the Pharisees had. Why can't I give to the church? Because I have more earthly, pressing, physical things that are on my mind, more pursuing, passing pleasures. But these excuses raise the anger of the king. They stir the king to wrath. The fact of the matter is, everybody likes the idea of heaven. I mean, nobody really wants to go to hell. But when the invite comes, when they hear the call, come to Jesus Christ, repent and believe and you will be saved, come to the Lamb, depend on Christ and you will be saved, He will give rest to your souls. When they hear the invite, they are strangely uninterested. They don't care. They refuse to follow the narrow way. And because of this, many who hear the invite, verse 24 says, many who had been externally called will not taste Christ's kingdom, either because of their pride or their ambivalence. They will be like those foolish virgins who did not have oil. The door will be shut, and they will not be welcomed in. This is not only a clear rebuke, a clear rebuke to the Pharisees, it's also a warning to us as a church, isn't it? Because like the Pharisees, we today, you sitting here this day, have heard the external call. Your auditory ears have heard this. And in case you've missed it, I will make it clear once again. The invite is this. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Him, trust in Him, repent of your sins, and cling to the cross, and you will be saved. Come to the host, and He will welcome you and embrace you and seat you at His feast. That's the invite. But the warning is this. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many hear, but do not believe. The external call is not embraced. So let the warning of verse 24 be pressed upon you all as well. If you hear but do not believe, if you do not add faith to the invite, then you will not be welcomed in either. You'll be in the same position as these wicked scribes and Pharisees. But let's not conclude with a stern warning like that. Because remember once again that Jesus Christ compels His people to come. At the end of the day, we know that because of our hard hearts, there is no one who would respond with faith and repentance. We need the Holy Spirit to compel us, to move us, to, the old word is vivification, to come to life, born again. Right? That's what Jesus Christ does by His Spirit. The effectual work of the Holy Spirit, moving His people, giving us the will and the way, the desire and the ability to come and to enter in. Praise God that Jesus Christ not only extends the call, but He gives us the ability to come in. That the very thing necessary is graciously supplied by Jesus Christ, our heavenly host. To conclude, the gracious invite of Jesus Christ is one that moves us to both gratitude and action. Gratitude, thankful that you have been invited. Action, coming to the Lord in repentance and faith and going to others to tell them to extend the invite to them as well. Have you come to the living water? Have you found rest for your weary soul? Has the invite that Jesus Christ has given to you been embraced and cherished? Have you come in? Have you been fed with the bread of life? Praise God that the invite is here received and that the Holy Spirit has compelled us poor, wretched, bankrupt sinners to come in. Praise God that Jesus has a desire and a delight to see His kingdom full. His Father's house populated and the empty seats at His feast filled with His people. Jesus Christ invites a great number of people to come, so let us respond with faith, heeding the call, and by the strength of the Spirit, be entered in to enjoy the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privileged opportunity we have to receive the invite, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, whose presence we celebrate today, that we can live after Pentecost knowing that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, on all people, and upon even us this day. May our hearts be moved with thanksgiving and gratitude, and may our hearts be filled with joyful obedience, calling others and inviting others, spreading the invite of Jesus Christ to all flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.